changes in the business scenarios. Now, this slide is talking more about how businesses are changing and how this technology revolution has brought in the change, and how companies who are not in a position to change are closing down. So, horizontal business processes replacing vertical functional approach. So, today only while I was reading the Corporate Dozier, which is a supplement in the Economic Times, Mr. Barton, who is heading McKinsey, says that there is a need for organizations to be more of horizontal. The structures have to be more flat. The organization structures to be more flat. They cannot have layer of 18 layers and 20 layers, which used to be earlier. So, this is one thing which is important. Greater sharing of information with all connected links and customers. So, share information. This is important today. And earlier, information was not to be shared. But today, we are in an era with internet and technology and everybody with a cell phone and access to the information. You just cannot hide information. It is better to share the information. Greater emphasis on organizational and processes flexibility. So, let us have process. Let us have flexibility. Now, how do you use flexibility within the limit so that you still maintain and manage your risk and you still are flexible? So that is where that new concept or new quality concepts will actually help you to see that you are within the flexibility zone, but you are also giving them enough of freedom to work, but you are also managing or hedging your risk. Necessity to coordinate processes across many sites. Today, more and more organizations are spreading globalization. So, out of the boundaries, there are no boundaries for business now. So, when all this is happening, it is so very important to coordinate the processes. Employee empowerment and the need for rule-based, real-time decision support systems. Gone are the days where you could say that customer, I'll come back to you. Fine, you can still say that, but with the systems in place and with the real-time systems, it is so important that quicker the decision, better it is. And empowerment with the employees is very important. If you have employee empowerment, there is a likely possibility of high customer satisfaction and better decision making at the means dynamic decision making, I would say rather, in the real time. These are some of the changes which have occurred in the business scenarios. Some of the other changes which are there is the competitive pressure to introduce new service or product more quickly. Now, if you recall some of the articles of Harvard Business Reviews and other stuff, you will see that this is becoming very important. Like, speed of making the new product or speed of innovation is important. So earlier, companies like Nissan and Toyota used to take at least 2.5 to 3 years to produce a car, but now they take eight months and 10 months to produce a car. So with this speed, you can create a pressure in the market. So one is every week or every month, or we see mobiles coming in, or the cars coming in, or some or the other services coming in. So the speed has become very important, and this is one of the phenomenal change which we see in the businesses today. Integrated customer driven approach or the customer driven processes. Again, this is very important. One is your departments like marketing, finance, operations or HR cannot work in isolation. They have to work integrated, and they have also to see that customer is also part of them, and customer is not outside their system. Customer is a part of the system. They can have a dotted line between them and the customers to just to understand that who is customer and who is not a customer. But more of integrated driven approach. Quick response to customers' need. Now, quick is important. This response to customers' need is always there, but the word quick becomes very important, and how you define quick is even more important. Quick is a fraction of second. Quick is number of years. So you are the best judge, and you will have to say that what is the need of the customer. If customer is relaxing and he wants to relax, so you have to define quick that way. Worldwide relationships between various trade partners, suppliers, etc. We are in the global world and global marketplace, so this is obviously going to be there, and this is one of the important again change which we are seeing, and we are going to see even more changes in the times to come. Easily accessible information through internet. This is this doesn't need any explanation as well. Flexible and efficient services and product customization. So flexibility as a part of operation strategy and efficient service as a part of operation delivery process is very important. And with the customization coming in more and more, customers are looking forward for a highly customized service for them. So these were some of the changes which I thought we'll share with you as a part of business process. And since these changes are there, this service quality models and the other service quality mechanisms, we need to understand them because we need to keep on changing with the change in the business systems. Some of the other quality models I thought I'll just share with you for information, probably, and you see that whether these fit into your system or no. One of the models which was there in 1984, this was designed by Grondros, and this was technical and functional quality model, which was like our Servicul model, he's also part of design when you talk about Servicul model. So this is talking largely about the expected service, the perceived service, and technical quality and functional quality. So how do you ensure that there is an expected service and there is a perceived service, and can we really see that whatever we deliver fulfills the need of the customer? So if this happens, then customer says that I'm happy. So this is talking about firm has to match the expected services and the perceived services. Three components of service quality have been identified, largely the technical quality, that is what I need to deliver, functional quality, how I'm going to deliver, and image quality. So what is the image I create in front of the customer when I deliver these two things along with my tangible, whatever tangible I have, in case I have a tangible with me in terms of image. So that is how I need to ensure that in this model, if this model fits into your system, probably you can use or understand this model. We have few other models, like this model is attribute service quality model designed by Haywood Farmer in 1988. This model is also talking a lot about professional judgment, physical facilities, processes, behavioral aspects, and some other aspects. The details, I have given you the model because it talks a lot about location, layout, facilities, reliability, timeliness, or the diagnosis part of it. So some of the details are already there. Probably expand the system and zoom the system and probably see this inside what is written. And probably if you have any questions, probably we'll be happy to address that. But this model talks about separation of the attributes, and it is largely again divided into three attributes, which includes the physical facilities and the process, the people behavior, and professional judgment. So physical facilities are all the tangibles. The processes are part of the physical facilities, where all the processes are there and which will enable the customer to experience the service. Second is people behavior. When I say people behavior, we are talking about not only the customer, but we are also talking about the service provider's behavior. So how this behavior is important and how it can influence the customer. And third is professional judgment. As a service provider, it is my duty, it is my responsibility to judge the customers, to judge the situation, to judge the systems. So based on that, but I have to judge not on my personal thought process, I have to judge everything on the professional front. And based on the professional front, then I have to take a decision. So this is largely to do with the attributes of the systems, and therefore named as attributes service quality model. We also have, when you talk about physical facilities and processes, these are some of the parameters which I shared with you in terms of zooming. So location, layout, decor, size of the facility, reliability, process flow and the capacity balance, process flexibility, timeliness, speed, which is important, and quick, and all that I shared with you. Range of services. What is the range of services, and how are you going to segment that and all that, and your communication. So these are all part of the physical facilities and processes. When we talk about the behavioral aspect, it could be timeliness and it could be friendliness. So when I say timeliness, we talk about the speed, communication, verbal, non-verbal, both, warmth, tact, attitude, tone of voice, solving problems. When you talk about the friendliness approach, we are talking about dress, its neatness, its your politeness, courtesy, attentiveness, anticipation, handling complaints, friendliness. So all these are very important today. And behavioral aspects are becoming more and more research is being done on behavioral aspect of the services today. When we say professional, we are saying, can we really help diagnose system better and have enough of competency, advice, guidance, flexibility, discretion to do or not to do, knowledge, honesty, confidentiality, and innovation. Innovation is a buzzword, and we are all part of that era when we say we are in the era of innovation today. And everybody believes that, no, probably we need to be into that innovation domain, and can I really improvise or innovate something into services design? So this is where, you know, the three components of the attribute model, the professional, the physical, and the other thing, which is the behavioral aspect. So the details have been shared with you now. The attribute service quality model says that too much concentration on any one of these elements, it could be physical, behavioral, all the process-based system, too much concentration on any one of these elements, the professional, the physical, and the behavior, may create some problem. So it may lead to disaster. Example, too much emphasis on procedures may give an impression to the customer that he will be processed as per the sequence. Means let these things be there, let the customer also be there, understand the customer and then use the process, understand the systems and then deliver the system, the process. So let the customer be a part of it, but anything, or if you do overdo things, probably that can create a problem for you. Different types of setting should be as per the degree of the contact. Now this degree of contact is very important, especially the behavior part of model. Now, wherein you will have to see that what is the level of contact I have with the service, with the customer, so that I can have my processes define or align with the need of the customer. So once you are with that, probably you are in a position to satisfy the customer. The next model is the synthesized model of service quality, which was developed in 1990, and something to do with services offering, perceived service quality, the company image, and determination of company's mission and objectives, all that. So this is linked with again service quality, and as we have said that service quality is important, and therefore I thought probably there are n number of service models today, and there are n number of service businesses. So I thought of sharing these services models, because if these models fit into your business processes, probably you are free to use this model for your. The synthesized model of service quality talks about, it works on the point that service quality gaps may exist even when customer has not yet experienced the service, but learned through word of mouth, advertising, or through other media of communication. There can be a gap that he perceives and he has just heard about you, but he can still have a gap. Thus, there is a need to incorporate potential customer's perception of service quality as well as actual perception experienced. So this model says that, see, there can be in the imagination itself, if somebody is my potential customer, there is a likely possibility he thinking about me in certain way. So can I do something there? This model considers three factors. One is company's image. Now, company's image is very important. Because when you talk about potential customer, for a potential customer, the first thing which can be is the company's image. So how he sees the company or how he sees the brand. The external influences and traditional marketing activities as the factors influencing technical and functional quality expectations. So the first model which we talked about, the 1994 Grundros model, where we focused on the technical and the functional quality and the image quality. So this model is an upper version of that, which focuses saying that there is a possibility of having a potential customer, and if we need to focus on that potential customer, we need to align our marketing in such a fashion that he sees, or that gap which can be there in his expectation can be linked with his actual perception or experience. Attribute and overall affect model. This was developed by Dabolkar in 1996. This model is divided into two things. One is saying that attribute based model and the overall affect model. So attribute based model is basically designed on the expectations of the customer, and the second is based on the overall experience of the customer. So One is expected speed of delivery, expected use of ease of use, expected reliability, expected enjoyment, expected control. So it could be, say, you know, in the system, like in our education system, what is the speed of delivery, what is the pedagogy, what is the reliability that the information is correct, and how customers are or the students are enjoying, and what is your journey of evaluation, or how are you going to evaluate. So all these parameters could be seen as quality parameters when you talk about attribute based model. It could be followed by expected services, quality of technology we are using, or the self-service option. So it could be based on any of the versions which are available. Intention to use technology based service option. So it could be, the intention could be, you know, to use the technology based self-service option. The next model in the same system talks about attribute towards technology products. This is this product or this model was largely hovering around technology, because Dabhulkar identified that a lot of things are moving towards technology, and technology domains are more focused, and everybody is focusing or shifting his business methods towards technology based businesses. So this was to fulfill the need of a set of customers whose business run on technology. So attitude towards using technology, technological products, need for interaction with service employees. So if you have this, then probably service, expected services and quality of technology based self-service option and intention to use. So if this is there, then the overall effect could be there. You can also judge now, today we means when we talk about all this, with the analytics coming in, with the with a lot of measuring tools coming in, so this model can actually help you measuring a lot of measurement or service quality measurements with regards to customers and customers' overall expectation and the perception over the services. Attribute and overall effect model has two alternative models of service quality for technology based self-service option. One is the attribute model and the overall effect model. Self-service is becoming popular because of the cost. So we were all focusing on reducing the cost as a part of increasing profitability through quality. So if you reduce cost, probably, so how do you reduce cost? So if you have self-services, so you don't have a need for service provider. So self-service is becoming popular. One is obviously due to reduction in the cost. Attribute model is based on cognitive approach to decision making, where consumers would be using a compensatory process to evaluate attributes associated with technology based service option. So this is largely to do with technology based service option. It is based on consumers' feeling towards the use of technology. So what customers feel with the use of technology. It is based on an effective approach to decision making, where consumers would use overall predisposition to form expectation, self-service quality for a technology-based self-service option. In both the models, expected service quality would influence intentions to use technology-based self-service. So, it is the intention will be purely based on the expected service quality. So, what is that I expect out of this system? And based on this, the intention to use the technology will be coming into place. Six principal drivers of service quality and cost. So this models, four or five models which I have shared with you in the entire process, are with the objective of setting a tone that there can be different mechanisms to identify the gaps, there can be different mechanisms to measure the service quality, and finally we need to see that service quality is delivered because customers are expecting quality. Now here we are sharing with you six principal drivers of service quality and cost, and these are linked with product and process design. They are also talking about the service level labor requirements, service network structure, service process management, workforce management, and measurement and compensation. So we'll see how these principles are in line with service quality and cost. So when you talk about product and process design, it is the foundation of high quality, because the process, right process yields a right product. So process have to be right, and this is the foundation of any system. Cost effectiveness process design is very important, keeping in mind its long term impact on the business. So So when you are designing a process, when you are establishing or laying out a process, it has to be cost effective. Whatever you have to do it right now, because the impact is going to be long term. So one has to be extremely careful in designing the processes. Design affects quality and total services cost in significant ways. So design finally affects your quality and total services cost in significant ways. So design plays a very important role, and we need to be focusing on service design, as a part of the service quality improvement process. A good process design could reduce total cost by shrinking the time it takes for a product to move from infancy to maturity, or for that matter, reducing cycle time. So the whole process or the whole logic could be reducing cycle times. So if you see really like some of the fast food restaurant like McDonald's, KFC's and all, so they have always focused on continuously focusing on how can they reduce their cycle time, so that the time between the order placed and the time when the product is received in their hands. So how can they continuously focus and work on so that their customers are happy and they feel great about receiving the product faster. So you place an order and immediately you get the whatever you have ordered. So if that is the speed, then probably you say, oh wow. Yeah. So product and process designs are important, and these are the foundation stone for delivering quality. Example for product and process design could be, you can embedding the remote diagnosis and repair capabilities in products and processes can simultaneously reduce service cost. So here somebody has suggested like you can have embedded systems. When I say embedded system, means I am saying that my system has a capability of resolving the problem after I have identified, or after the problem has been identified, and it can be remotely accessed. So if systems can be remotely accessed, there is a possibility of repairing and reducing the overall service cost. So this is the design part of it. So if your designs are such that things can be accessed remotely, probably you reduce the cost of traveling and reaching there and then solving the problem. Service level labor requirements. This was the second parameter as a part of our drivers of services. So typically labor is the biggest cost in service operations and a key driver of customer satisfaction. So one has to be extremely careful with service labor requirements. Some customers may require a lot of hand-holding, and some may be contented with the self-service option. For example, ATMs, self-grocery and all that. But some people may like to interact with somebody and then actually experience the service that way. Matching customer expectations with service delivery methods increases revenues and simultaneously lowers the cost to serve. So matching customers' expectation with service delivery methods obviously increases your revenues, and it also reduces the cost to serve. So you have to match that. That is important. Service operation leaders analyze usage pattern and consider them in light of corporate targets such as market share or revenue to ensure proper service coverage. So the top management or the service operations manager has to understand the usage patterns and then consider the capacities which will be required for him to ensure that he generates enough of revenue and creates enough of market share, ensuring that the service provided to the customer is good. Now we are going to discuss something on service network structure. With the growth and expansion, service cost may go up and sometimes it may get out of control, and that is important that you have to be very careful about, because expansion also brings in or adds in a lot of cost. It results into management process becoming less standardized, workloads no longer aligned with the staff levels, and unnecessary facility expenses are incurred. So a lot of other expenses start adding up when you talk about expansion, and one has to be extremely careful with this service network structures. It is important to think as to how a service delivery network is structured. The efficiency of service operation also tends to vary greatly among geographic locations. So probably something in Japan, something in China, Korea, the efficiencies level could be different, and probably when you come to India, efficiencies level could altogether be a little more different. So we don't know whether they are going to be moving in positive or negative direction, but there can be difference based on the geographic location. So one has to be extremely careful with the service network structures. And these are, means when I say careful, I'm saying that these are drivers of services management systems, and especially linked with operation processes, because customer behavior and the behavioral aspect, the behavioral attribute, and the technical or the image part of it gets affected with the geographical locations. The service network structure also talks about having proper tracking and reporting processes. Companies can smooth out variances and improve service performances. Companies can also use shared resources to significantly reduce overhead cost. Outsourcing will often produce short-term gains, but in the long run, it can be, it may be a cost burden to the organization. The right mix of sourcing balances the low cost and the service quality in a way that enhances a company's competitive advantage. Now, here the concept of right mixing. Now, outsourcing, obviously when you talk about today's scenario, everybody is talking about, can we really outsource everything? But it is also suggested, and research is done, that there has to be right mix of sourcing. There has to be a balance in this sourcing pattern, which can yield into low cost and high service quality. So this is what service network structure has to deliver. Next important element in the service drivers is the service process management. Processes change as per the need of the business. So processes there has to be flexibility in the processes. If they are very rigid, then it is going to be a cost. They need continual monitoring and adjusting to keep cost in check and ensure effectiveness. So two parameters, one is the effectivity and the cost. So if you have to deliver value, you have to reduce your cost or check your cost and ensure that efficiency or effectiveness is high. To do that, you need to have continuous monitoring of the system. Companies can also identify some processes which can be standardized across company operations. Like a chain of hospital or a hotel would understand the process and implement it across the chain. So if something is seen that this can be a standard process and it can be replicated, please go ahead with replication and standardization of the processes. Workforce management. Now, productivity of employees is a major concern in service operation. Productivity of employees, measuring productivity first and then ensuring that employees are continuously productive. Workload can be calculated and they should be calculated. Unfortunately, a lot of organizations do not get into workload calculations, and then they don't know whether the employees are really productive or no. Management can also consider how much full-time or part-time workers can be required. So especially the peak period and the part non-peak periods. So one has to be considering all the factors when you talk about the employment and the employability and the load factors in the organization. Measurement and compensation. Very few services companies have sophisticated performance measurement tools and compensation structures. Very few services companies have highly sophisticated tools to measure the performance of a person, and they are purely based on opinion, and high subjectivity comes into play, and probably that is one of the limitations. So there are three categories there: those that track metrics but have not aligned compensation. So you check the work, but there is no linkage with the compensation. Those who track metrics but use inconsistent definitions across levels. So you have a system which measures, but there is a lot of inconsistency in the systems. So that gap is always there. Those that don't track metrics at all. There are organizations who do not track metrics at all. They do not have function systems to track the performance and all that. So sharing with this was to talk about the service quality. Metrics, we said that metrics are going to be important, and we started off that if you cannot measure, it is difficult to monitor and then upgrade. So service quality in and all is important in terms of measuring, in terms of delivering, and as we have rightly said that customer quality is important, and as customer is expecting more and more quality, customer is becoming more and more quality conscious. So it is going to be very challenging for the service organizations to be continuously upgrading themselves to deliver quality. So just to brief, we have discussed about what is service quality. We also discussed about the concept of service quality. We discussed about few service models. We also discussed about some of the drivers which are important in delivering service, and in all, we also emphasized on customer centricity and models which are moving towards customer, and then probably, you know, delivering value and creating value in the services processes. I am sure you would understand, or you would try to implement the service quality and understand the service or analyze the service gap models which we have discussed in the session. With this, I think we close the session for today. Thank you.